Okay, so we're going to, because you guys are going to Duel, so we're going to, whatever we finish up today, we finish up, and we'll do something else next week. So we have, for the last few days, established, again, the Bavli's principle is at least by Darabanans, maybe by Daraitas, we can distinguish between otherwise identical malachot based on the principle of Ukmeh versus Ifruyeh. And we noted in the Yerushalmi, it never brings that up. In one place where you would expect it to, it brings up Matzil and Hatleika, which could either be a fundamentally different category than Ukmeh and Ifruyeh, the same as Ukmeh and Ifruyeh, or similar to Ukmeh versus Ifruyeh, but not identical, right?
Yeah,
so, right, so again, just to review the theoretical models, right, you could say, well, listen, if Ukmeh versus Ifruyeh means that things that are only maintenance are not a malacha at all, so maybe a matzah manat leika is saying we reject that, but we do maintain that in Durabarans, things which there's an extreme hafsid, you can be mekel. That would be one way of reading Yerushalmi, which would totally distinguish it from the Bavli. You could say, listen, Ukmeh versus Ifruyeh is predicated on hafsid, right? And then you could say matzah manat leika is also hafsid. Maybe it's a higher standard for hafsid, but it could both be hafsid. Or you could go in Josh's direction and say, no, maybe Ukmeh versus Ifruyeh is one way of saying that maintenance is not a malacha. And matzah manat leika, the focus on matzil, on it being sort of external, is saying that, yeah, certain maintenance malachot are not really malachot because they are external. That is possible. Yeah.
Matzman Blake does mean utter destruction, but it does mean, but it means complete destruction from it being a fruit tree. If it's becoming a regular tree, and you've completely destroyed the idea of it being a fruit tree.
Right, so we could talk about it, right, not just as destruction, but destruction of its purpose. Right, we saw some of Farshim who said things like that, right? Like if you would make it that it would not be able to produce fruit, right? That what we saw that in the Yofi discussion, right? That, well, the point of a flower is to be beautiful, right? So if I would prevent it from being beautiful, even if it would live, right, that would be destruction, right? Because I'm cutting off its purpose, right? For sure. Right, so you could definitely form it. It's a teleological. I understand. What you're saying is that, right, even if it's alive, if you prevent it from ever, if it dies to the point where it can't produce fruit, right, so then you have undermined its identity. It's no longer fruit tree, and therefore it's destruction right. of its, right, could be. Right, you know, lahavdil, right? The way that people had a minag to sit shiva for people who intermarried. They're not dead, right? But you were saying that culturally, right? Right, there is, right? Right? Lahavdil, I said. Lahavdil. Lahavdil. This was a long-standing minag, right? For a very long time that people would sit shiva for people who intermarried. It's fallen out of practice, I think, many reasons, but there was such a minog, right? Because again, the point being that yeah, someone can. I'm just bringing it as a very, very, very loose mashal, right? That you can say that listen, someone has totally changed their identity, their definition, and therefore, right? Yeah, I mean, look, if you ever watched, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, right, you'll know yeah. that's like sort of the struggle there, right? Because in the actual book, right, that's one of the big differences between the book and the movie, is that in the book, he does not turn back, right? In the movie, right, Tevye, even though he doesn't talk to her, right, blesses her, like, you know, like into the air. Like, he's not, right, like, he softens and regrets cutting her off, even though he doesn't say it to her, right?
In the book,
I don't know if he doesn't regret it, but he doesn't back down at all, right? And that was one of the things that was apparently too harsh for an American audience. So when they adapted it to the movie. But this is very far afield. My point was just that what you're saying is that there are things that are equivalent to death,
right?
And I'm saying, yes, we sort of believe that in life in general, that sometimes we see something have undermined its destiny so much, right, that it is
equivalent.
Right, that it's equivalent, right, that we treat it as being destroyed. Right, Nachanami, I'm just, right, I was bringing an example. Now someone's going to listen. Oh, I'm weighing in on this machloket now. Like, I remember in YU, it being a machloket amongst different Rosh Yeshiva, whether, right, this minhag is still appropriate. Like, Rosh Hechter felt it was not, because Reb Schechter said the only reason people used to do it was because intermarrying was an act of rebellion and leaving the Jewish people. Right? It's not because it's like some metaphysical reality. It was someone wanted to abandon the Jewish people, the way they would do it would be to intermarry. But now it's just not. When the majority of Jews in America intermarry, right? You can't say that that is the psychology of the people, that they're rejected. There's not, right? And therefore, Schechter says, like, nowadays, right? Like, right, without weighing in on whether the minhag was appropriate when it once was, his point is that it doesn't hold that valence anymore, right? Another Rosh Yeshiva I heard said, no, 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 it's a metaphysical thing. Totally, totally sidetracked. But you understand what I'm saying, right? I'm trying to think of another example.
Something can be destroyed without the physical...
Correct, right? That something can die, right? It's telos can die, right?
Telos, it's ultimate purpose.
No, teleological.
Exactly.
It's like if when you become colored, it says it's
your death. Right, that... sort of, right? Sure. Maybe, look, the fact that maybe a better mushal of the four things that are nechshav kameit would be not poor, even though that's one of the four. The other is someone who can't have children. Right? Well, obviously, we don't think they're dead, but at some level, the fact that you don't have continuity, like, right, we understand that that's a type of death. Right? Maybe that's a better mushal than this intermarriage.
I'm sure the most outrageous.
Being poor can be does
fit this
model in the sense that.
It does. I gave a gotta touch here on that when we got into Zagata and we did a Fatazara. But you're right. Meaning, because it cuts off your social influence. It cuts off. It closes your circle of friends. Right? Some people will turn away from you. No, for sure. There's a lot to say there. But yeah, meaning the fact that we do have a lot of metaphorical language and customs and things like that that are built around this notion that something can lose life force, right? Without dying.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yes, I agree with you.
The most outrageous interpretation of that I ever heard was. It was linking it to the Medrash of Paro becoming a Metzora.
Correct. So that's one of the Midrashic translations.
That is one Paro throughout the entirety of the story.
Correct. That's one Midrashic tradition, is that he, right, that because another one of the people who's committed is a Metzora, so he's not really dead. He becomes a Metzora at some point, and then he heals.
I always thought the whole thing with the bathing in blood was the sort of detail that they probably, that it just strikes me as the kind of detail that is important enough. Had it happened, that it should have been in the main text.
Well, there's always the question of what Midrash is doing, but you know that's something we've been doing all year, and I got to tell. So I'm really not going to go back on that. And then we noted the other Yerushalmi yesterday that we have in addition to Matzal and Adleika, the other Mashal that we have, which the Gemara says is Tali b'Machloket, is Kamesh of Shomer, as you put a Shomer there, right? And there. It's a machloket. And we talked about why there might be a machloket there. It could be that, listen, yes, it's external, yes, it's protecting. But on the other hand, at some point, right, the mashal I think we settled on that probably is the best is vaccination, right? Where vaccination, you could look at it as medicine in advance, right? Or you could say, anytime that I'm preventing you from getting sick, I'm making your body stronger, right? So which is it, right? Is that, now, like, so for example, this came up. This has halachic ramifications,
in terms of
right?
Vaccination,
exactly, right? That part of the discussion of vaccine, right? When, like in England, it came up because in England, the way they did it, rather than here, where, you know, you, right, it was like you were allowed to book, right, based on age group, and then people booked their own appointments, right? In England, they just gave you, right, like based on the requirements that were in the system from the NHS, they just gave you a date. So it wasn't clear that you would be able to make up the date. So there was a big discussion of, are you allowed to get vaccinated on Shabbos? And like, yes, is it limiting the chances of you dying from COVID? Yes, but the moment you're not actually sick, right? And maybe you'll be able to get it later. And the question of vaccination, right? It's a very interesting topic because on the one hand, yes, right. Obviously, if this elderly person was sick with COVID, right, you'd be Mechal Shabbos to save him. On the other hand, right now, they are in lockdown, right, which is obviously uncomfortable, but their life is not directly threatened at that moment. And vaccine can allow them to live their life without their life being in, right? So It's a very interesting place, and that's why I don't want to get into what the halacha was and what different posts have said, right? But you understand that vaccines, right, there is that ambiguity that on the one hand you'd say, well, at some level it's the same as treating them, right? Because, you know, you're not going to be able to treat everybody, right? And treatment isn't going to work for everybody, and therefore you have to vaccinate, right? On the other hand, you can just say, I mean, sure, you could look at it as refuah in advance. We could also look at it as, no, I'm making you a healthier person, right? I'm making you a healthier person. So, like, you know, there was that time period, and I think, I don't know if they came with a firm conclusion, when they thought that that vitamin D, having extra vitamin D, would make you weather COVID better, right?
That must have been a while, though.
Right, so I mean, there were a lot of studies that actually came out and said this, like relatives of mine or doctors were like, no, like the studies that come out are at least, you know, they weren't crazy. Like there was reason to believe it. I mean, they've done a lot of longitudinal studies since then. I think the majority of studies now say it isn't. I don't want anybody like listening to this say, oh, you believe in that conspiracy. That I have no point, don't care, right? But Nagini was true, or we thought it was true.
Okay.
Right? So would you say that someone taking vitamin D is now medicine? I don't think so, right? I don't think it's medicine, right? I think it's what you're trying to is to make yourself healthier so that you could weather the disease better, right? So you could, right? Now, why is it? So let's say it was really true that vitamin D made you weather COVID better. So why should vitamin D be considered making you healthier and having a vaccine be refuah in advance, right? You could see why it would be ambiguous, right? On the one hand, right, it's more like medical, right? So the same way, Meshuv Shomer, you could say, well, on the one hand, I'm preventing damage, so it's just whatever you want to call it. It's ukme. On the other hand, you could say, but no, I'm in advance. I'm like setting everything up so that you're as healthy as possible, right? Meaning you could frame everything in the negative, right? Right. I think most of us would agree that exercise makes you healthier, right? Right? Cardio makes you healthier, but we could phrase it as cardio, right? Makes you less likely, right, to have heart disease. I mean, that's true, but I think we would all agree that exercise is not refuah. It's, right? You can always sort of mix in, right? You can always sort of mix and match, right? At the borders, right? I think nobody, you know, I think most people would agree that giving medicine to someone who's really, really sick is medicine, right? Is curing an ill, right? And most people would agree that exercise is a positive, right? It's making you healthier. Making you healthier makes you like susceptible to diseases, but we understand that it's healthier, right? And then you'd have the things which are on the borders. So vitamins, probably more on the health side, right? Which is why many posts can think you can have vitamins on Shabbos, because they're machal briyim. Right, because you're not allowed to have medicine, but unless you're in the right chole, but you can have right machal briyim, right, things that healthy people would eat. So, right, if someone says I'm having orange juice so I don't have scurvy, that's mutter, right? I don't know why they think they're going to get scurvy, but bon nagid, they think they're going to have scurvy, so they're having orange juice. The orange is breathing up scurvy. It's still machal briyim. What about cough drops? Oh, you see, my point is that there are. Right? There are borderline cases, right? And that, as we saw yesterday, this isn't just theoretical. Why am I bringing this? Because we said maybe that's what's going on when you combine the Lechem Mishnah and the Maaser Keach to say, well, why is it the Rambam doesn't seem to accept Ukmeh versus Ivruyeh, and he accepts a more Yerushalmi-like thing, that I can't do Zihum, which was the Gemara, one of the Gemara's examples of Ukmeh versus Ivruyeh. But the Rambam says you can't do that to prevent birds from coming. Isn't that ukmeh? So either you just say the Lecha Mishnah, he thinks it's a machloket and we reject it, right? Or you go in the direction of saying, listen, he accepts a more nuanced perspective, right? Either he reads the Yerushalmi into the Bavli, or he accepts the Yerushalmi's parallel to ukmeh versus ifruyeh, right? And that's why he accepts a more machloket position here on the Meshuv Shomer case, right?
Okay. I actually want to answer the cough drop thing, though.
What?
I actually want to answer the cough drop one, though.
Well, it depends why having a cough drop. Is it a medicated cough drop? These things aren't, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, it would depend if you would willingly eat a cough drop, I would suppose.
Well, that's usually the case, right? Meaning,
Well, so the ones that taste like candy are fine, presumably.
Well, look, let's say what would be definitely be okay would be, no, like, if you just took a lollipop, that's obviously mutter.
Yeah.
Right? Cough drop, so some folks can think it's usser, right? So, like, Rabbi Ribiat in the 39 Malachot says that it's usser because it's medicine.
But that one is notoriously strict.
He is. That is true. It's a great book, but he is indeed. You are correct. And other poskim, I just Googled it now to see, and you know, I got one who said Rabbi Ribiat is machmir, and I make kill. Right. So, like, okay. I mean, fine. So what I want to do today is just sort of finish fleshing it out now that we've set it out. So what other formulations might we have for what we call either Ukmi Evruye or these other parallel formulations of Yerushalmi? So like I said, there's a decent summary here in the footnote where I just, you know, I don't want this to extend too much into next week because I don't want to because you're going into Tiol and it's not going to be good. So, but if you look... right, I have it in, right, this nice summary in a footnote where they quote a lot of different positions. Right, so again, in the Matzel Menad Leika line, right, so I have this long footnote at the top of Ted Amud Bet. I have it as footnote one, right? So again, we noted that in Matzel Menad Leika, there were those who equated Matzel Menad Leika with Ivruye, right? And the Gra who did not. Yes? Yes. So what exactly is Ukmi, right? What is it? So, again, if you think that Matzah and Hadleika is the same as Ukme, and you focus on the word, the Dleika, so then it seems that all Ukme means is some variation on the Heter that we find throughout much of Halacha, which is Hesed. Right, that Chazal are not gozer on a lot of things. We shouldn't have said, right? And that's all that's going on here, right? Now, of course, within this framework, what is the main question going to be that drives you throughout the sugyos of throughout the sugya? How much hefsed is it? What hefsed, right?
Can we really put a hard number on that?
What?
Can we really put a hard
not necessarily, but that's the question you're going to ask, right? I mean, that's going to be the right? That's going to be the right question. No?
It just seems to me like the business in law with, you know, what a reasonable person is or would do in a situation. You have to actually write out what it is.
Now you're sounding like Josh. This is Josh's favorite question in the world, right? Which is, right, where's the line? And
I'm saying you can't find a line with this. It's got to be like case by case stuff. I mean,
maybe, right? But this is always the challenge, right? I mean, this is the challenge. However, there are some other formulations that I think are very, very suggestive. So, for example, as we said, the Ritva, the Rashba say that no, Ukme is not a malacha. Now, why would it not be a malacha? Right? We haven't really talked about that, right? Why would it not be a malacha? Right? Why? What would make it that it's not a malacha? So here, the Tiferet Yisrael has a formulation that is expanded upon in the Sefer Hashmita. That I want to read with you, right? So the Sefer HaShemitah is, well, let's do a little bit of bios. Let's take a minute. Who is the Tiferet Yisrael? Let's start with the Tiferet Yisrael. Who is the Tiferet Yisrael?
The Rabbi Yisrael.
Rev Yisrael. Rev Yisrael. Are you just making this up?
I mean, I said probably.
You are. No. No.
Do you have your phone on you one time?
No.
No,
it's not. It's not.
If we don't have our phones on us anymore.
It's Rev Yisrael. Lipschitz.
Ah. Okay.
He lived in 1782 to 1860. Right. Now, who is Rav Tukhachinsky, who wrote the Sefer HaShemitah, who we've seen several times?
He's a Rosh Hashiva.
So, you know how in Israel, you, Zmanim, a lot of them follow Rav Tukhachinsky, right? Like, he was the, right, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky, 1871 to 1955. He was a Rosh Hashiva here, yes. He was Rosh Hashiva Beitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. He wrote several very important svarim. Gesher Achaim, which is one of the most important svarim on Avelut. But he also wrote some of the earlier works on, some of the most important works on the international dateline. He wrote and a lot of issues on Zmanim, and he wrote a Sefer HaShemitah. Yes, that, so that thing. So based on the Rav Yisrael, but it really becomes clearer to Kaczynski, he has this following, the following permission. So look at the bottom of 12. He says, Kol ilan v'tzemach me'az shenitkalila ha'aretz v'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach darko lilkot b'ilukim v'tispachot t'vi'im. He says, since God cursed the earth that it shall produce thorns and thistles for Adam, every plant will have complications. That's how nature works. Mehem bikotzim, mehem bitolaim, whether they be thorns, whether they be bugs, o bavanim, or rocks, v'chein ha-shemesh, the sun, v'ha-geshem, and the rain, v'ha-ruach, v'ha-barad, and wind, and hail, she'ikaram la'atzmiach, v'yishem ha-kem adol brakim, that normally they make it better, but they can also hurt it. Kol ilu ha-dvarim mitev ha-tzmicha, im ba la'asiram al yidei avoda bashvi'it ha-reze li'ivruyei. Ha'inu l'ishbuchei mikol shar ilanot utzmachim, aval kol hasaret nezek biltima tzoy viragil zehu li'ukme. He says, anything which you're trying to prevent damage from the normal forces of nature is ivruye. And anything where you're trying to protect it from something which is abnormal is ukme. So what is he saying? Right? What is he saying? I think he's saying a very... Now, this could be true. You could use this formulation both for ukme ivruye, for matzam and adleika, right? I think you could read it in, right? I'm not going to... Right, I think it could work in both. But what is his logic? Is right. So if you go back to our vaccine point, right, we pointed out that there is an ambiguous line between prevention
and healing
and making you healthier, right? Of prophylactic healing and making you healthier, right? That's very, very
right. It's a narrow line. We have
right. Rav Tukhachinsky says, yes, but let me give you a different way of thinking about that line, right? And I think it's actually a very, I happen to love this framing. I think it's a very good framing because it sharpens the terminology we've been talking about. He says it's not, you know why it, what the ambiguity is? You're thinking about a tree and you're thinking internal versus external. You're thinking about, well, the tree, anything I do to the tree, that's like making it healthier or something like that, right? And then, I don't know, right? a fire coming from the outside. Well, that's external, and therefore I'm just preventing damage. But he says it's more complicated than that. Why? Because a tree grows in nature. And we know that part of farming is dealing with nature, right? If you had a farmer who said, listen, in ideal conditions, right, if it rained exactly when it was supposed to, the exact quantity it was supposed to, and the exact right rains came, and the exact right wind came, and the correct animals were present, and right, it remained the exact right climate in every way, in terms of humidity, and in terms, and only the right insects came near it, and not the wrong insects, right? Then this tree, I would plant it, I'd set up my watering thing, right? And it would, or maybe I wouldn't even have to, right? And it would grow and that would be fine, right? You would say, I mean, that's very nice, but you're living in a dreamland. That's not how the world works. And therefore, to be a good farmer is not to say, well, I'm a, right? Being a good farmer is not the same as being good at being a theoretical physicist, right? Which is in an ideal model, right? This is how the science would play out, right? I mean, very nice. But being a farmer, or even being a farmer is different than being a, whatever, a chemist, a biologist, someone who understands, right, the chemistry of photosynthesis, doesn't matter, right? You're not a good farmer if you don't know how to deal with the real world and the fact that there are changes, and some winters are colder and some are warmer and some summers are hotter and some is more rain, right? So Rav Tukhachinsky says, you know what the difference between Le Clerc and Bruyère is? It's very simple. If in the normal course of events, right, something happens, then when you are protecting it, what you're really doing is making it grow. Right? If you can't tell me that this, right, plant needs exactly this amount of sun and this amount of shade, and therefore I am protecting it from getting too much sun by shading it and, right, and then removing the shade so that it gets the exact right amount of sun, and I'm just protecting it, right? It's, right, it's not raining, so I'm protecting it from drying out by watering it, and it's raining too much, so I'm, right, you can't, right, anything that's like in the realm of nature, if I protect it from nature,
that's facilitating growth.
If this wasn't going to grow because of the normal vicissitudes of the climate, and I allow it to grow, right, I am not protecting it, right? Think about it, right? If when we went to Tzion, or what was his name? Tzion, Ben Tzion, whatever his name was, the farmer guy, right? He's like, under a normal year, he said, forget Shemitah. I always have my tomatoes in greenhouses because it's better, because we can control the climate better, right? So we can control the climate, control the bugs, we control the humidity, control everything better, right? So how many people look at that and say, aha, he's just protecting his tomatoes? We all understand that when you say, I am protecting it from anything the climate could throw at it,
you're creating a controlled environment.
You're creating a controlled environment. And that's called helping it grow, right? As opposed to a freak thing, like a fire.
A rampaging raccoon.
Right? A rampaging raccoon. Thank you for my Canadian friends.
No, apparently they're a serious problem for corn farmers because they'll just like take corn, like they'll just take an entire like stock of corn and just eat.
Sure, like the crazy raccoons we had in Thornhill who learned how to open the garbage, unlock the garbage things.
Are you kidding me? They designed the garbage, the compost bins.
They're insane.
Who else will come up with a special bin where you put all the edible stuff?
Yes, and they can unlock it. So yes, but if you have a fire, so Josh says, well, what's the difference of a fire? What do you mean? Fire, that's not, in any given year, there's a range of normal, right? It rains a bit more, it rains a bit less. It's sunny, it's this, right?
Fire.
There's not always a tornado. There's not always a forest fire, right? There's not always a rampaging raccoon. There's not always a whatever, right? And therefore, Rav Tukhachinsky says, and I think it's correct, that Rav Tukhachinsky is working within it's not a malacha model, right? According to him, the distinction between Ukman and Vruy is not hefsid. It's What you're quote unquote protecting the tree from is normal factors in the climate. That is called making it grow. Because
you're protecting it from its own regular environment.
Yes, right? You're making it grow better than it should if left to nature. Right? That is called ivruye. Right? So
it killed it in what?
It has to be right. And what he seems to be saying is, listen, there's a range of normal, right? There's a range of normal, and then there's an aberration, right? A tornado. Tornadoes are natural, but they're not regular, right? They're not.
What about a lack of enough rain back here?
So you're allowed to, right? So you're allowed to water, right? Something watering, we saw, is a classic case where yes, watering. Correct, right? But you've got to, right? In any formulation, is there going to be some things that are on the border? Of course there are, right? But fundamentally, rain, right? Watering is one of the things that is included. But you know, and again, this seems to appear in the Beret Yisrael as well.
Nature with the sun is...
For sure. That is us. No, it's much during the Sefet.
On the Ashkelon, I thought it was...
Mesir Allah is...
Ashkelon, I thought it was much earlier. It's going to every center.
Oh, so that would be the Machloket, right? You see there's going to be cases there's Machloket, right? But that's fine. Now, Ruth Kaczynski's formulation could work for Ukmei Vruye. But you could also potentially say that right, you could also read into the Ushami, right? Meaning this type of distinction, I don't think it's crazy to read it here. But I think, right, so that's a very different formulation than what we've seen until now, right? Not just maintenance versus planting, right? So we saw, who did we see that in? The Ran, right? The Ran said the fundamental difference in Daraisa and Darabanan is once a year Malachot versus... Right? Maintenance malachot. And then there's like the Darabanan has some reflection of that also. Then we just saw all the people who in variation says it's about hefsid. Rabbi Narev Tukhanchinsky says no. What it's about is are you keeping the sort of abnormal things from destroying it and letting it live as it were this year according to nature? Right, and the way I put it with my chavrusa, and you'll tell me whether you like it, I think at some level, what Ruto Kaczynski closes down to was saying, is that in Shemitah, you're more foraging than farming. Right, meaning you're allowed to take produce. Right, but produce grows. Right, left to its own devices, once a plant exists, it will grow, and you're allowed to do that. Right. What you're not allowed to do is
maintain your custodianship of the
right, or to put it differently, as I said, we were talking about it a lot, but as another way of thinking about it is, remember that farming is a technology, right? Like farming is a technology, and Shemitah at some level is saying we minimize our agricultural technology because what are we doing? We're recognizing the land belongs to God. So this type of formulation actually makes a lot of sense, right? That I'm allowed to protect it from abnormal things, but I'm not allowed to protect it from nature in its normal range of, right, in its normal range. Because that's called, right, farming. That's called taking control of the land. I don't think someone will say you're farming, right, if you, right, put out a fire that's coming towards it. Right, that's not what it is. So I think that Tukhachinsky more is in the model of it's not a malacha. Yeah, right. I think that is. Right? Does that make sense? Right? I thought that this formulation was actually really helpful because it gives a different perspective. Right? It's not about hefsid; it's about realizing this ambiguity. Right? That just because you're protecting it doesn't mean you're not really doing something. Right? Some protection, especially protecting it from nature itself, you're doing something. Right? You are applying technology to this, you're making it that you're farming, not forage, not foraging, right? I think that that is. So I really did like this formulation. This is the clearest I have, you know, that I have found of someone who said something like this. Okay. If you look at just the footnote, what I have here, I'll, you know, read you what I have, some other formulations. So first they quote the Rash, the Rush, the Rash Cirilio, fine. Right. So first they note that you could just think that, right, Ivruye and Ukme is the same as Matzum and Adleika, right? But then they say, okay, let's go to Josh's question. So Josh's question is, okay, but how do any of these models work within the Chachamim's position on the Isser Litolida Allah Me'ala Eshkol, right? The Shimon says it's Mother Lacham Tzeitz Osir, right? So how does that make sense? So if you don't believe that Ukme and Ivruye is a done deal, so no problem. As we saw yesterday in the Lecha Mishnah, that's the Machloket. That's exactly the Lecha Mishnah understood, the Machloket, right? That Rav Shimon says you can be Meser Da'aleh. Chacham say you can't. It's a classic case of Ukme, right? You're just letting the light in enough that it survives, right? Chachamim say no. Rav Shimon says yes. Rambam sees it as a machloket. Boom, he paskins against it, right? That was what we saw in yesterday, right? The Chazon Ish, however, has a different formulation. I'll just read you their summary. Sheminitzilat ha'alam e'al eshkol yish gam hashpacha mu'etet shel ha'ilan. V'lachin zon v'tana kama shehi asura. V'ilu dat Rav Shimon kem she'ikar tachli ta'v shmira ilan min kilkul eina chashuva kemilacha. His first suggestion is hasaret ha'ala is, let's say, 80%, right, ukme, and 20% evruye. Right, and this is the machloket that Rav Shimon says, because mostly what you're doing is ukme, it's mutter. The chachamim say, and then you could justify this in different ways, right? You could either say, going back to what we talked about in the past, right? Neutral, negative, positive, right? So you could say, listen, maybe Rav Shimon defines the act, and the Chachamim say you can't do anything that's evruy, right? Or maybe you could say that, listen, right? Ukme is only mutter if it, right, is preventing a negative. But neutral would be usur. So kal v'chomer, a negative plus a positive would be usur. And Rav Shimon says, no, I can't do something that makes it better, right? Right? I mean, the Chachamim might say, I need it to be avoiding a negative, right? And neutral would be usur. And therefore, a mixed positive and negative would be usur. And maybe Rav Shimon says, listen, neutral would be fine. And so would, you know, a mostly avoiding negative but somewhat positive. Right? So Major Minela may be one of these borderline cases. That's one formulation of the Chazon Ish. The O Teret, Shiyesh Malacha Drazachom B'Shvian Aval Pesha Inun Ukme Ilana. And his second one is, what we saw already in Ruchan Kanievsky, is the Chazon Ish saying that some Ukmes are Usser, because they're messy. Yeah. Remember?
Is that the appearance?
Remember? We saw that, right? So another possibility is to say you have to introduce another factor. There's ukme evruye plus mechzid. Right? That some things... okay. Then we noted, v'yesh mefarshim, and this is the gra, she'matzam nadleika is hefzid gadol, right? And maybe that is different than Ukme and Evruye. It's a higher standard. That seems to be the simple pshat in the Gra. Now, what the Chazon Ish adds to this is, okay, but then why would Rav Shimon and the Tanakhama disagree? Now, you could say this in the Bavli, but in the Rishami it's even better, which is, if you think that the only thing that's Asur, the only thing that's Mutter is Hefsid Gadol, right? Not just Hefsid. Hefsid Gadol,
Great gloss.
Right? The Yerushalmi rejects the Bavli. It doesn't just think Hukmein of Ruin is fine. What does it think? The only thing that's mutter is a huge loss. Well, guess what? I know Josh is going to hate it, but how huge is huge? Right? Well, that's going to be the machloket. Right? Once you say it's about hefsid, whether it's hefsid or hefsid gadol, you can have a machloket on the margins. Right? So that is how the Chazon Ish explains it in light of the Gra. And then they note as well, they have the summary here of Ukme versus Ivruye, whether it's only the tree or even the Pirot, which we talked about at length. Now, I just want to read you, though, what I have is the Chilufei Gersaot, right? Because this is really the problem I've been talking about a lot, which is, Binyan Ukme Ilana, HaMefarshim Nitkatshu. The Mefarshim have a problem. Shekama min HaMelachot Mishnei Mishnei Yot Habaot Nira L'chora She'inan Ela Ukme Ilana. Right? The problem with all of this is that so many of the Melachot that are mentioned in the second Perek sound like Ukme, and yet we forbid them. Nevertheless, we only permit it in Tosefet. Gaon, ma'ashnin, like ma'ashnin, right? Smoking out the bugs, right? Or she's coming in. So that harishon matarila made it to lame. So ziko la'ilan. V'lachora ain't zel siluk nezek. Isn't that only removing nezek? V'lo evru elon avchenim u'mefarshim al old melachot. V'chein b'toset rosh heksha. Right? So again, so tell me, so in all of these examples, right, you have two things you can do. One is what the Rush does there, which is re-explain the Malacha. Right, again, I've said this 10 times, but now I'm telling you, this is what I want you to remember this, that we've talked a lot about the principles, a lot. This is our seventh year on this topic, right? But I said, this year could go on forever. Why could it go on forever? Because to fully understand it, what you need to do is go through each of these 20-plus malachot and say, well, doesn't that sound like it's avoiding nezek? Right? So either you could reinterpret every single one of those malachot and say, yes, we have a very sharp distinction between ukman evruye, and any malachot that sounds like it's only maintaining is mutter. And if the malacha says it's asr, then reinterpret it. Or you could right, say, you can do that.
You could say
right. What's the other extreme is?
It's about that you're not allowed to do ukme for the fruit.
And these correct. You could say, oh, that's ukme on the fruit, and maybe we paskin like Rav Kook. Right, you could do something like that. At the other extreme, you could pull a lechem nishno in the Rambam, which is ukme's aser. That was just a possibility. We don't paskin that way.
Yeah.
Or you qualify ukme. Right? Or you do a Chazon Ish, which is, even when something is only Ukme, there is a secondary factor called Mechzi Ki'ivruye or something, or that is also, right? So, but this is the problem that you need to do on every single one of the...
Yes, he said, what are you doing?
Yes, yes. But you understand that this is the challenge. We've set up the principles for seven Shirim, but what you need to do is, after you've figured out what Ukme Ivruye means, after you figure out what Matzah Manad Leika means, after you understand Moshe Shomer, then you will figure out whether it's about Hefsid or whether it's about not being Malacha. Then, to really, really understand how to solve, what you need to do is do the hard work, go through every single Malacha, and each time figure out, what does this Malacha mean? Does it fit into the model? And then, if it doesn't, I have two choices. Reject the model or reinterpret the Malacha. Right? Over and over and over again. And as you said, the Rush... Biderach Klal, I can't say this with certainty, always does this. The Rush's tendency is to reinterpret the Malachot as much as possible to maintain a relatively straightforward understanding of Ukme. So, for example, on Me'ashnin, where many of the Rishonim said it was smoking out the bugs who are damaging it, which really sounds like Ukme. The Rush says
somehow the smoke makes the tree better.
One second. Oh, where to go?
You are a smoky tree.
Yeah, it sounds good.
One second. Where'd it go? Where's Moshman? These endless lists. We had it. Right?
Chesem Beis.
Okay, Chesem Beis. So, Ne'ashman.
The middle of Mishnah Beis.
Yeah.
There we go. Ma'ashnin. Right? So the Rush had said is, yeah, you put spices which somehow make it grow better. Or grow better. Apparently he said it makes it grow better. I don't know how. Okay? So, but the Rush has a tendency to minimize the tension by reinterpreting the malacha. Okay?
You can also put the Rush.
How it does that. I'll read you the Rush's language. You want me to read the Russian side? I'll read you the Russian
side.
The Rush says...
You can pull Tanakhama and say that's all of Rie.
But then Ashman...
It always helps somewhere.
One second.
No, not
completely,
but all have like 10% of
Rie
in them.
The Rush says... Me Ashman, rega.
What are we talking about?
Ma'alin Ashan Dagailan... Oh, sorry. Here the Rush says that it's to kill the bugs. Where's the Rush they're quoting?
When he does say kill the bugs?
Here he does. Where's the Rush they're quoting? I know he says it's not
maybe
elsewhere.
Bugs is a natural part of
the tree. Oh, sorry. It's the Tosa Russian Void Kata. Right. Elsewhere. Where he says that. Okay, I don't have it on me. Others say... And here we get a few other formulations. So now he says, "Yesh mitartzim shlo hutra malachet ukme ilana ela belacha sheina begufa ilan av malachot anasu beilan atzmo nesru af kishematratan hu ukme ilana." The Parashul Chan says what Josh has said several times, and that is that no, there's a second qualification in ukme versus evruye. It's not just maintenance versus making it better. What is it? It depends on whether it is beguf ha'ilan or not, right?
So
whether it is beguf ha'ilan, right?
So would the Rush possibly consider bugs as beguf ha'ilan? Is that was my suggestion?
No, you should say it's in, yeah. Well, if you say it's usher, it's taking it in the fruit itself. That's what I thought.
Why necessarily fruit? It could be termites.
No, because you can only save the tree. He would be talking about it has to be in the fruit. That it would be usher because you have any right to.
Now, there is a good reason in the Yerushalmi. There is a good reason in the Yerushalmi to believe this, right? What's the good reason in the Yerushalmi to say that that this is the difference?
Smoking is necessarily making it better.
No, is that what's the language of the Yerushalmi? Again, is Matzah Adleika, right? Is that within the Yerushalmi, right, there is good reason to say that the difference between internal or...
External.
Right? Right? To make a difference between internal and external. Right? And to say that fundamentally the difference in Ukmei and Evruye is not like Ruth Tukhachinsky, that it's protecting it from nature or protecting it from a freak. And not quantitative things in Hefset. But it's about am I touching the, right? Am I doing something external to the plant or internal to the plant? Right? Now, that is motivated by, again, Matzman Adleika supports that. Meshiv Shomer supports that, even though it's machloket. Still, those languages are suggestive. Now, again, do you want to call it Ukmei Evruye? Do you want to say that's what the Yerushalmi's position is? Do you want to say that's Reb Shimon within the Yerushalmi? Again, we've talked about how each of these, but the fact that another possibility isn't just natural versus not natural, but is internal versus external, as being either, again, a potential interpretation of Ukmei, or Matzman Adleika, or Meshiv Shomer. Right, it's undeniable that that's at least a possible rendering of the difference between the malachal that are mutter and the malachal that are asr, are those that are internal, versus external, right? There is a logic to that, right? If I'm stopping something from coming into it, I am not, right?
So, question. So, in terms of, so an external, so protecting the fruit from an external damaging force would be considered ukme in this sense that you're keeping the status quo. So it says that Nashnin, which is smoking a tree, is assumedly for bugs, would be usher because you're somehow making it better. So is the rush saying?
Those are internal.
So bugs are considered a given to be inside the fruits?
Say it again?
Bugs are taken as a given to be inside the fruits?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
The ones inside of the apples, that's the thing.
It's tough to try
right.
to get
So then right. the next one that we already talked about, again, so the next potential model that we talked about was what we just said, right, was the difference between things that are, that are natural versus not natural. And then again, right, those are the Chasam Nishka, we talked about the difference of things that look like a malacha and not. Right, so these are just a few models to talk about. And like I said, the real hard work of fleshing it out is going through each and every one of the malachot and figuring out how it fits into the models. Okay? I think we can stop there. That is a lot of just, again, that's just overview, admittedly, but it's a long overview. So.